Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney.
And I'm Shane Northrup.
Today we're going to be talking about the iPhone touch disease, and no, it's not something you can catch, the AT&T screen replacement, HP computers, and a new BMW motorcycle concept.
So to start us all off, we're going to talk about yet another reason to not get an iPhone.
That's harsh.
Yeah, well, you know how it is. We've been talking a lot about Apple and iPhones lately because of the new iPhone 7, but the iPhone 6 Plus has been having quite a few problems in of itself.
The funniest thing, you mentioned that, I hold in my hands, well, if you could actually see me, I hold in my hands an original day one release 6 Plus.
Yeah, well, then I'm not sure what to tell you then, because it could end up with a touch disease. Now, what happens is the iPhone 6 Plus devices are now spontaneously breaking due to an engineering flaw, and customers are left in the dark.
So now do me a favor. I had a question. Does it mention how people carry the phones?
No, it does not. It just says that there's this new phenomenon called touch disease, where many people who are blindly loyal to Apple have continued to replace their Apple iPhone 6 Pluses with refurbished units that are just as likely to break as the old ones.
You put that in there, right? Blindly? I knew it. So the reason why I ask is I was wondering if it has to do with a case. Now, I've had my phone in an OtterBox Defender since day one. I know a lot of people don't like the bigger cases because how bulky they make them. Now, I'm wondering if it just have to do with the fact that a lot of people carrying them around in the nude, as it were.
Well, what it is it is a soldering issue from what it sounds like.
So it could be.
So if you essentially what happens is you end up with these two gray lines on the bottom and top of your phone, and they flicker, and it causes a total touchscreen failure. And there are a lot of people that have been talking about this and emailing people about this, and Apple is not acknowledging that this is an issue. Like, they're like, we'll send it in and we'll fix it. And then they fix it for however much it costs to get your iPhone fixed. Or you get a replacement refurbished one for $300. Essentially is what's going on.
I'm not surprised Apple isn't doing a lot. Just kind of the way of nature of companies these days.
Right. So essentially what's happening is Ben Gate, in which the two tiny touch IC connectors, which translate to the touchscreen, are pressed into the machine input and become unseated from the phone's logic board.
See, I'm thinking this is totally what it is, because you mentioned Ben Gate, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking what it is people like these cutesy little cases. They're not doing proper care. Like, pretty much, because this thing's a giant sheet of glass, I always get the toughest case I can find. I think that's what it is, because people are bending it, sitting on it. And because this is Apple's first giant phone, which the 6 Plus was, I'm thinking it's solid based on the fact it was poor engineering on Apple's part and not thinking that it could easily become dislodged from the board.
Right, probably. So essentially, in order to fix it, you have to solder it back in place. Now, Apple does not perform this repair. And they don't tell its customers that they're independent repair professionals that can perform this repair. So essentially what they're saying is, well, I guess you have to buy a refurbished iPhone.
Now, there is a few things you can do with this. If you buy a new phone from any store, whether it's AT&T, Verizon, Walmart, Target, you name it, you can actually go home that day and buy Apple Care. And the reason why Apple Care is, in my opinion, one of the best warranties out there, you can literally go to their store and they'll fix it there. Like, for example, my 6 Plus, I broke the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you ever break the camera, it's kind of trippy on the 6 Plus because it looks all like you're filming underwater.
That's awesome.
So what they did is they can actually fix it in the store, but they didn't have a part. And this was within me having the phone within 2 months. They handed me a new iPhone 6 Plus.
Really?
they have amazing warranties. So I always recommend, even if you don't think you're going to use it, get it. Trust me, it'll be worth the extra dollars.
So a class action lawsuit has been filed to attempt to force Apple to deal with the problem, or at least admit that it even exists. So thousands of iPhone 6 Plus users have joined the suit.
Let
me go back.
You say thousands?
It's, let's see, yeah, thousands.
Wow, so this is more common than I thought.
Yeah, but there are a couple other places that you can actually get this stuff repaired. It's a lot cheaper to go get it repaired than the $329 Apple charges to replace the touch disease.
It also voids your warranty, though, just to let you know.
Yeah. Well, it does.
Oh, the reason why I say that, Apple uses some proprietary screws, and that's one way Apple tells that it's been messed with, is the screws aren't there.
So, Apple Pie Repair, Stop and Fix iPhone Repair, Apple, iPad Rehab, and Wires Computing will do this
Apple,
for you.
What was that one?
Apple Pie Repair.
I like that name, by the way. That's hilarious.
So, I mean, if you have this problem, then there are places to go, but Apple has not officially said anything about it.
I'm hoping that not only do they do something about it, but this isn't a problem in future generations. I still think it's because it's a Gen 1 product form, which was basically a giant phone.
Well, it's really funny because one of the ladies who had this problem said that Apple had called her, but because she couldn't do anything with the touchscreen, she couldn't answer.
That's horrible. Now, the other thing I'm thinking of is I've seen a lot of people carry around their phone in their back pockets. So I'm thinking what this is. If you have a 6 Plus, you know, carry it in your purse or your front pocket. Get a decent case, whether it's LifeProof, Defender. Don't get these cutesy little cases. I know it sounds bad. I guarantee this will probably provide a little bit more of longevity for your phone. I think this is one of the reasons why I've never actually had any issues with mine.
Right. Well, and I use LG, so I've shopped around the market a little bit. I've used Samsung, but I don't like all the bloatware. I've used HTC.
I am not about HTC. That's one of the reasons I've always wished Google made phones that were available at AT&T Verizon. The reason why is because their phones were originally the only way you can get a true Android experience.
That's true. I do like my LG a lot. I've never been let down by LG phones. They seem pretty durable and they seem to last me a pretty long time. Like, I don't really treat my phones with a lot of care.
The weird thing for me is some of like the LG products, I don't like where the power button is. Having it in the back is weird.
I like it, and I also like the volume's there, but the one problem I do have is that I accidentally end up taking a lot of pictures that way.
No, Shay, have you ever smashed your cell phone's screen?
Not exactly.
Now, if you have AT&T, AT&T has a plan that will soon repair busted phone screens the same day.
That's great. I've done a little bit of, like, I've cracked a screen before, but I wouldn't go so far as to say, like, I busted it.
Now, normally a lot of people have the insurance for AT&T Verizon. Usually it's anywhere between $10 and $20. And then you have to pay $150 to $300 for high-end smartphones, which is the deductible. Now imagine spending $89 or $90 on selected phones where you can literally get it repaired that day.
That's amazing.
Now the caveat to this is, like I said, it's the iPhone 6, 6 Plus, 6S and 6S Plus, or the SE, or the Samsung Galaxy Note 4, S5, or S6. You won't find the S7 or iPhone 7s right now because, honestly, the screens are just still too new and still too expensive.
Right.
Now, the coolest thing about this is the fact that you can literally pay to get your phone screen fixed that day. And I'm assuming since it's first party, which is AT&T, it probably won't void your warranty if they're doing it correctly, because this is through Insurion.
Right.
Excuse me. And Insurion is assurance provider for a lot of big corporations. Walmart uses them. And there's a few other big name box stores. I think, if I remember correctly, was it Target, Best Buy? A few other people, I think, use them.
Right. Now, if you're using an expensive phone, I highly recommend getting insurance.
I totally agree. And the other thing is if the manufacturer itself has an insurance thing, like we talked about earlier with like the Apple Care.
Right.
Now, here is the interesting thing. It launches, market launching at 11:15 is going to be in 15 locations launching. And on the December 1st, it's launching in 29 locations. And guess which area is going to be launching on the first launch date?
Sacramento.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in the Sacramento area, which we are recording. If you bust your screen out and something happens, get back to us. We're really curious to see how well it works.
And phones are kind of like cars in the sense that it's not if you're going to break your screen.
It's just a matter of when
you're going to break your screen.
And it's funny you say that. I've had tremendous luck, knock on wood. I haven't broken any screens on any cell phone.
I've cracked a screen.
Wait, no. I take that back. I had an old Nokia phone back in the day that I broke the screen at.
I haven't broke, like, I've cracked a screen, but, like, the worst that I've done is I actually ended up destroying the inside of a HTC. Like, I sat down on it.
Oh, no, so you just...
And it bent it, and it broke, like, it broke the internal components.
Oh, wow. See, ladies and gentlemen, this is why you need a case.
That was a really cheap phone.
So we're coming up to a break, and when we come back...
It's anti.
We'll be talking about HP computers.
They've really upped their ante this time.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Now, Jonathan, what is your... For a computer for you to own, like, what are the standard qualifications that it needs, especially for nowadays?
Like, processor-wise, or...?
Just in general. Like, if you could, like, list some of the key components that your computer is going
to
need.
I have to have either the middle-of-the-road or high-end processor. I need at least a terabyte or two. Motherboard really depends on the brand, but Bluetooth not as much. I'd like to have Wi-Fi on the board,
yeah,
along with networking. I like internal graphics for backup, but not as my primary use.
Right. I think I'm with you on a lot of that. I've discovered more recently that I definitely need to invest more money in a motherboard.
Oh, one other thing is I actually have to have an optical output on my motherboard because I use an old receiver for audio.
Interesting.
Works great, by the way.
I have like three different audio drivers on my computer. Like, I've got my Sound Blaster 5-in-1. I've got my the one built into my motherboard, and then there's a sound driver built into my case as well.
Wow, Sound Blaster. Talk about a blast from the past.
Those things are still just as good as they ever were. Like, there's really no reason for me to upgrade.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. They do really well since I'm not doing 5.1 and I don't mind built-in audio. The Realtek's not too bad.
I pulled this one out of, I believe, an XP. It could have been a little bit older, but my Sound Blaster is, it's old as dirt, but it works really well.
The fact
well.
You're using it with Windows 10 is amazing, by the way.
I have downloaded some extra drivers for it. Like, I had to go
had
out of my
to.
Way.
Yeah, you weren't going to be able to run that
it's
natively.
Not supported. So watch out, Apple. HP has debuted some flashy new computers. Now, this is kind of interesting because...
I'm sorry. I love that. Watch out, Apple. Like, they're really concerned with HP.
They kind of should be because Apple... And we've talked about this before, has not upped their ante at all in the last, what, 5 years?
Yeah, it's been about 4 or 5 years. I know there's a hardware update coming soon. The only reason why I say they don't care is they're more worried about Google, Samsung, like their cell phones, than they have about anybody's laptops.
Right. So HP has come up with a whole new design. So each of the different models have 4K displays built in.
Are these laptops?
there is a couple laptops, and there is a – so there's a 13-inch laptop, and then there's a 15-inch laptop. But then they also have it's essentially an all-in-one monitor.
Oh, nice.
Now, Apple has been doing the all-in-one monitor for a while now. Like, I mean, if you really want
to
bring it back to the old – those big Apple
– the iMacs.
Yeah, the old iMacs. So – they've got an all-in-one monitor that's out, and it's a 27-inch QHD 3.6 million pixel display.
See, I always called those kitchen computers.
It is 15 millimeters thick because of all the components and all of that stuff, and this display supports a low blue light mode for improved eye comfort. So it comes with a i7 processor. And you can either get it with a 256 gigabyte solid state hard drive, or you can get a spinning hard drive for up to 2 terabytes for the same price. So that sells, it's the AIO 27, and it sells for $1,299. So it is.
And that's the all in one?
Yeah, that's the all in one.
That's not bad.
So 4K costs what? About the same as a iMac, like Macintosh laptop. And supports 4K video.
Well, I mean, it really depends. Like, if you like 2000, like the high end, because I spec'd out a MacBook Pro, the laptop, it was $3,100, but that was with all the high end features.
Oh, yeah. I know a guy who spent well into like $5,000 just to get 4K.
Yeah. And this is for a laptop that we'll be doing, you know, eventually when I get it with some video editing. But $2,000 for that is an amazing price.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm not sure how much RAM it comes with. They did not specify, and they did not specify, like, the motherboard or the video card
now,
or any of that.
I would say there is a drawback to that.
It's probably not modular.
Yeah, as I say, with the Apple's version of it, you actually have to take out the screen to do some work to it. So that's the only caveat to that I always tell people is take good care of it.
This HP is the same way. Like, I think they're following suit with Apple. Now, they've got a couple other things. There's the MV, which is priced at $849, and that is the one that is 13 inches. It carries a i7 processor and an i5 processor. You can pick between the two. It has a touchscreen option, and it's only 3.15 pounds.
God, that thing must run really hot with an i7.
I'm not so sure about that. I know a lot of the motherboards, and there's a lot better cooling technology going on with i7s.
I'm hoping.
What generation of i7 do you have?
Mine's one of the older ones.
Yeah, they've gotten a lot better with age.
Well, I'm just hoping it doesn't have just passive cooling. That's the one thing. I realize people don't like to have active cooling, but if you're doing anything with a laptop, active cooling won't fry your processor or turn the computer off in the middle of it.
Right. Well,
which is something, by the way, computers do nowadays to stop the processor from getting dying.
I almost guarantee there are fans.
I hope so.
Yeah. So they also have another one. It's the Spectre. And it is 2 millimeters thinner. It's only 3 pounds, 13.3-inch display. All of these work 4K. This one sells for $1,000, and it has a 15-hour battery life.
So is this supposed to be like the MacBook Air competitor?
Pretty much. They've got they basically have kind of a lineup where it's like almost like a MacBook Air, and then you've got like your MacBooks, and then you've got your iMac.
Wow, a 4K for two. So there's probably anywhere between $1,000 to $2,000. That's, wow,
it's actually quite impressive, and I've never really been a huge fan of HP. Now, I remember when I was looking for a laptop back in the day, but when I was starting college, I was thinking heavily about HP because HP was the closest you could kind of get to Mac without busting your budget.
Yeah.
And then I went with an Acer instead because Acer makes some pretty good middle grade computers.
I mean, I'm considering buying a Mac for $2,000, get something to equivalent is something I might have to really give a lot of thought about. That's an amazing deal for having something that's capable of 4K.
Now, I've noticed back in the day, just from my experience with HP before, they don't really have there's not a lot of longevity in them. One of the cooler things about Macs is there is a long lifespan.
That's the one thing that I've always, one of the reasons why I've always kind of bought Mac laptops is you can beat the tar out of them, excuse me, is specifically because of what it's designed out of. It's, you know, metal. It's billet aluminum.
But I'm actually seriously considering these HP laptops just for the price and for 4K display. Now, I'm wondering how much RAM we're going to be getting with this because you need a lot of RAM for video editing, and I feel like this would be a good video editing tool.
I'm assuming that this is a pretty big assumption that it's going to go anywhere between 8 and higher.
Probably. I know 8 is like standard nowadays. It used to be 4, now it's 8.
Which is funny because I remember when I first got 12 megs of RAM on one of my computers, and I remember hearing sounds coming out of a video game that weren't there previously with 4.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm really excited. I mean, honestly, if you can get anywhere between 32 and 64 gigabytes of RAM on this computer for video editing, I think
if you're going to be getting that much, you're going to be paying a little bit extra.
You're probably going to be paying $500 or more.
Yeah.
But if this is something that might be your primary tool, or if this is something that's going to be on location so you could do some quick and dirty edits, I think this is perfect.
Yeah, I like the idea of this. I'm actually kind of excited about this. I saw this. They're sexy looking, too, like, by the way. You should take a look at some of the pictures of these
things. I'm going to have to take a look, but I'm still jonesing the new Mac that came out. Allegedly, it's going to replace the function keys with touchscreen display, a touch-sensitive display.
Nice. I'm not a big fan of the whole touchscreen thing.
I don't like touchscreen. I like the idea depending. There was an OLED keyboard that came out years ago. It didn't really do a whole lot, called the Maximus.
Yeah.
I love the idea of keys that are multifunction and the fact that they'll change depending on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. That is always something that I thought was a great idea, honestly, because as far as video gaming, as far as video editing.
I know they do a lot of keyboards where like you get different overlays for the keyboard.
Yeah.
Depending on the games.
You see, overlays have been around for years. I mean, back in the early 90s, I think even some 80s, there were these plastic sheets you can put over the keyboards.
Oh, yeah.
And put stuff like that.
WoW is notorious for having some.
There were keyboards that are WoW-specific. There's stuff for Pro Tools. There's stuff for that Apple video editing software.
Oh, yeah. Final Cut.
Final Cut. So it's nothing new, but I love the idea of a keyboard that can change.
I just pulled up a picture of the HP Air. Or not Air, HP Envy, which is essentially MacBooks. It's equivalent to MacBook Air. Now, I'm showing it to John right now, and it's really thin.
It's a beautiful looking laptop. It really is.
It's supposed to have 10 hours of battery life. Their higher end model is the one with
the i7,
the 15 hours. But apparently, it comes with a 512 gigabyte solid state drive, which is actually very impressive.
Wow,
like. A lot of your money for that thing probably goes to that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet a good quarter of it at least is for the SSD. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to be talking about a bomb squad detonate Civil War weaponry, along with a new BMW motorcycle concept.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back. And if you've paid attention to the news lately, you've heard about Hurricane Matthew. And so what happened is Hurricane Matthew hit Florida and the southeastern coast of the United States. This story particularly takes place in South Carolina. Apparently what it did is it uncovered a bunch of Civil War ordnance. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Civil War explosive ordnance. Now, it's roughly over 150 years old. This particular region of South Carolina was a major staging area for Union troops. So this could be anywhere from duds to ordnance that wasn't used. And explosive ordnance and stuff like that has been around for a long time. It's nothing new. They had exploding.
Oh, definitely.
For example, the pirates were using like exploding cannonballs, if I remember correctly. So the artillery could still be explosive despite the age of the shells and thus needed to be detonated. The Post, it's called the Post and Courier reported, I guess it's the South Carolina newspaper, that nearby residents could hear the explosion when the sheriff's bomb squad detonated some of the ordnance on site. The U.S. Air Force explosion experts examined the weaponry. The sheriff commented, the Folly Beach ordnance detonation successfully completed. Is a history geek. I want to find the pictures. I mean, this is...
Yeah, definitely.
I was really hoping once I heard this that the story would have been they were able to drill into it, do something so they could disarm it, because this is really cool. I'm a huge fan, huge buff, I guess would be the better way to say it, of stuff like this, especially when it comes to basically antique weaponry.
Right. Well, and how dangerous, you know, like to have to go and like disarm these things, because back then they weren't as safe with those explosives as they are now.
Oh, no. And this is probably, just some sort of cheap metal. This could have been lead. This could have been steel. And basically hollowed out or formed out with probably just standard black powder poured in.
Right. And, I mean, just going back to World War I, the first ever hand grenades had a tendency of going off in your hand.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is... Like I said, this is amazing. The fact that they found it, you know, especially 150, 200 years later after the fact. And don't forget, they're still finding ordnance from World War II and World War I all over Europe. And that was roughly 100 years ago, depending on which war we're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this could be something that we find for years.
And you know, it's interesting that the hurricane brought it up and that it didn't detonate in the hurricane itself.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm assuming, no, my assumption would be that there was no detonator, like.
Right. Well, it would probably be something along the lines
of a spark,
like, or. Yeah, like fuses and that sort of thing. But it can still, anything can set off an explosive.
Yeah, especially one that's probably black powder based. Any kind of like electricity in the sky, matter of fact, a lightning bolt hitting it would probably set it off. I don't know. This is just amazing. I kind of hope that we have examples of this somewhere, so this wasn't, you know, like a one-off that we had to destroy.
And I'm very curious to know what all the different ordinances were. If it was just a bunch of ammunition, if it was a bunch of explosive cannonballs, like now, what
it talked
is
about
this?
Metal shells. So my assumption, and granted, this is a big assumption. I'm assuming it's cannonballs, or maybe looks like a, you know what a mini ball is?
We call them mini
balls in the States. I'm assuming it looked something like that, maybe depending.
Interesting.
So I'm going to have to look this up. I didn't have time to actually find anything specifically that looked so I could show my fellow co-host. So
now, interestingly enough, going to some more new technology, BMW has just had its 100th birthday. And so now it has come up with a few concept ideas for some new motorcycles. Now, BMW has revealed its helmet-free motorcycle concept. Now, essentially what this does is it's a self-balancing and artificial intelligence vehicle that is supposed to be allegedly safe enough to ride without a helmet. Now, the creator of it himself has said that it would take years before we all get to a point to where we can't wear helmets.
Now, I do want to interject as somebody who actually does ride a motorcycle on occasion. They do realize, right, that riding the motorcycle is not the particular reason you wear it. It's the fact that for everybody else.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said that you wouldn't be able to do it if it were to come out, that you wouldn't be able to do it because of other motor vehiclists.
Yeah.
But BMW imagines a world where all the vehicles are self.
So pretty much what it is you can't make mistakes. Like you can't lean it over too far and make the bike go out
right
from under you.
Now, they've also come out with an idea about some like goggles. Essentially, it's artificial reality where it gives you directions and that sort of thing.
Okay, so it's an augmented reality heads-up display.
Yeah, they've come up with that as well to go with it. And the bike itself is very futuristic. Like, this looks like something out of, like, iRobot.
Interesting.
Now, take a look at this thing.
I originally heard about this a little bit, and, oh, wow, that looks really cool.
It's really sleek and sexy.
See, my big thing when I first heard about this is reading the headline was the motorcycle you could ride without your helmet. Really turned me off just because the fact that it's, you know, like, for example, in California where this is being recorded, it's actually state law. You can actually get a ticket for not wearing your helmet.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I want to know how it works more. So I'm assuming, like you said, it's AI, gyro controlled.
Yeah.
Does it have autonomous driving?
It doesn't say. It's basically essentially at this point a concept. I think they've built some prototypes, and they were showing it off. There's a really cool video attached to it. I would highly recommend checking it out. This thing looks like something that you would see in, like, Tron.
Now, I want to see them do this with, like, the Dodge Tomahawk.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? So if anybody out there doesn't remember, the Dodge Tomahawk is a motorcycle that has the V10 engine from a Viper in it, has a front wheel actually splits into two, so you can turn. Now, if you could do something like that that's as powerful as that, I think this would be cool. Now, was this electric or gasoline?
It looks like it's gas-powered.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's gas-powered.
I'm really curious in what type of engine. Now, this is something we're definitely have to stay tuned for. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can find us in places like iTunes, Stitcher, and a whole lot of other places. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. So do us a favor, drop us a line, tell us what you think of the show. And for Jonathan Charney
and Shay Northrup,
as always, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.